Blog Talk Radio.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room, and if you look on there, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can. What's going on, fellas? We've got a special edition here on Leave It in the Ring. We got Victor Vicious Ortiz scheduled to call in around 8 o'clock and stop by and chop it up with us about his upcoming match later on in a few months from now. 916 Chris, I got you on the line, right, brother?
You know it, man.
Right on. So what's the name of the – you know what? First off, man, I've been on the go all day, man, you know, trying to check my emails and then going to take care of certain things, you know. And, man, I've had a tough day today, you know, Chris. I'm trying to get here at the office so we can get on the radio show. And I got this driver in front of me, and this driver's literally going on the freeway, man, you know, a 65, you know, lane, 40 miles per hour. And I'm like, this stupid driver. And it turned out to be a student driver.
What are they doing out there on the road anyway? Shouldn't they be on residential streets or something?
That's exactly what I thought, you know, and I'm overseeing this stupid driver, and it's a student driver. And right when I said that, I'm thinking, like, that's what they need to change that. In the back, you know, they put that, you know, the letterings in the back, they put student driver. They need to put stupid driver because they shouldn't be on the freeway. So stupid driver almost got me late today, man. So I'm a little irritated. I'm pissed off. And then here's some other news too, man. You know, a boxer passed away. Chris, you want to kind of enlighten us about what this whole situation about a fighter passing away?
Yeah, young fighter, I believe it was a super bantamweight. Benjamin Flores fought last week against Al Seager in Dallas, Texas. And he lost the fight, and I guess a few days later, you know, he just succumbed to injuries. I don't know what the exact injuries were, but it was definitely from the fight. You know what I'm saying? Seager sent a comment out, you know, how he was, you know, sorry for what happened or whatnot. You know, obviously, you know, no fighter wants to, you know, be the person that inflicted that kind of damage or whatever, that their opponent loses their life after, you know, competing in the contest and stuff. And, you know, it's just something I wanted to, I was talking about just because it seems like it's getting no attention. It just got like a little write-up on fightnews.com, and no one really talked about it, you know, and I don't know why, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's just because the fighter's not well-known, but, you know, I think it's important just to get the story out there just, you know, for his family and friends' sake, you know what I'm saying, if nothing else.
You know what, I completely agree. I you know, it's funny because you did mention it to me yesterday, but we did really get so caught up with a lot of stuff. We had a lot of stuff that we needed to cover yesterday, and it was, I apologize, you know, for not getting right away to that story. It did slip my mind. You know, we were having phone problems. Chris was having some phone problems, you know, so to really tackle on that story. So I guess to what I'm trying to say, you know, before we start jumping on other websites or anybody else about not covering this story, I think we need to slap ourselves in the head because we didn't either. And I'm hoping that David Chen is, you know, listening on what we're talking about and starts typing away about this young fighter that passed away. David Chen, how are you doing, brother?
I'm good. How's everybody tonight?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, had a little bit of a setback coming over here, but I'm all right now. All right, caller from 973, man. State your name. Where you calling from, brother?
What's up, Dave? It's Future Boxer.
Future Boxer, what's going on, man? How you doing, dude?
All right, you know. What about you?
I'm doing fine, man. You sound a little down and out. What's cracking, brother?
School, that's about it, man. School got me down.
Ah, man. You know what, brother? You have your whole life to live to be, to have disappointments. Don't let that bring you down.
Yeah,
trust me.
You, man.
Yo, bro, you gotta start paying attention in class instead of flexing in pictures.
Yep.
Yo, man, that school sucks, man. I had Spanish, too. I'm Hispanic, and I'm failing Spanish, too. The reason I got that picture on was because the teacher don't even care. He don't even teach Spanish, and she's Italian. So an Italian person teaching Spanish, so figure that one out.
Hey, man, You know what, man? You're not the only Latino that fails Spanish class. I failed it too because every time they would try to ask us to, say something in Spanish, I'd say it the way my mom used to say. You know, they would say, "Hey, Dave, tell me how you would say go to the store." I would say, "Okay," because I'm already thinking what my mom would tell me. My mom would say, "Hey, cabrón, vete a la pinche tienda, cabrón. Ándale, apúrate." See, so I'd say it, and the lady would be like, "I can't believe you just said that." But hey, that's why I failed, man. You know. Chris 916, man, what other boxing news we got? You know, I didn't even have a chance to see the ESPN fights, man. You know, like I said, I'm running late. Has anybody checked it out and filled me in with the info about the fights that are happening, I think, right now at this moment?
I'm watching it right now, man. You got two undefeated prospects going at it. It's funny, you got the one guy with the they're both undefeated, but one has zero knockouts. And so you could tell who they thought was going to win, you know, who the opponent is. But the guy that's supposed to be the opponent, Quintero, he's taking it to the guy that's supposed to be the prospect. He's definitely beating him. You know, it's a skill over. This guy's got the better skill, but he's losing to the guy with the better experience and game plan.
Woo, man. See, man. Well, hey, I'm not going to complain too much because we got Vicious Victor Ortiz to call in and talk about his upcoming fight. You know, I was checking up on the guy, and the guy that he's facing is a pretty tough dude. The only problem I have with the guy is I can't pronounce his name. David Chin, do you know how to pronounce this guy's name?
I have no clue, brother.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting there, and I'm already trying to sound it out. I even had to call my kid in the room to see maybe he could figure it out, but we're both there, and we're stuck on stupid, you know, just like that student driver driving on the freeway. Couldn't figure out his name, so hopefully Victor Ortiz can tell us what his name is. Or maybe not. Maybe Victor will be like, "I don't even know, man. I'm just looking for him, you know, to knock this dude out, get the night short and done, and move on to the next opponent." You know? David Chan, what's going on, man? Any news? Anything out? Hey, you know what? I heard a story. This is one story I did get to check out and read. Manny Pacquiao, they don't want to let him back into his country. Can you believe that? They'll say that he's got the swine flu. I mean, how ridiculous is that? You know, I mean, I'm reading this, and they're just like, are you serious, man? I mean, Manny Pac-Man, I mean, the Pac-Man himself, the dude just got off of one of the best KOs in his career, and they don't want to let him back into his country so he could celebrate among the rest of the Filipinos that have been waiting for him and you know, and get the party rolling. 916 Chris, man, what do you think about the whole swine flu, man? And I heard Kermit the Frog caught the swine flu. He thought Miss Piggy was clean.
I don't know, man. I know I was trying to cover up when I was at Target shopping today, man. I ain't trying to get no swine flu, pig flu, snake flu, or any other flu. But on the Manny Pacquiao tip, word is he did get back home today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't keep Manny Pacquiao out of the Philippines. Come on, man. That's like keeping Barack Obama out of the United States. It ain't gonna happen. So that's just someone from the Filipino health department getting a little bit out of line. I don't know. The president probably had to smack him around and tell him to let Manny get back home.
It's probably one of those little YouTube haters and all that, you know, that just jumps around and talks kind of smack to everybody. David Chan, what do you think about that, man, about the whole swine flu and Manny Pacquiao?
I mean, if you really think about it, you can kind of understand where they're coming from. It's like, all right, Manny and his crew were in the MGM Grand, right, with like maybe 20, 30,000 people down there, you know, down there in the Midwest. And now he's going to come back to the Philippines and he's probably going to be in the middle of like 100, 200,000 people. You see what I mean? So they're like, something might happen, but honestly, there's nothing you can do about it. That, you know, that's pack hell. You know, the government is not even powerful enough to stop him from going back. I think I read he's going back anyway. I read that they can't stop him from doing that, and that's just the way it is. Like, you can't stop the man from celebrating this fight, man. It's like the best one he's ever had.
Absolutely. You know, I did read that he, you know, they can't stop him, but obviously they were trying to put up some roadblock blocks, but man, he's knocking them down like the way he did, you know, Hatton. And, hey, man, let him back to his country, man. I mean, that's just ridiculous, you know. I understand, yeah, you know, the big fighter was thousands of people there, but come on, man. You know, this Manny Pacquiao, you know. This guy's considered a god in the Philippines. Let him back over there so that he can rest up, be with his family and his kids, and get ready for Floyd Mayweather Jr. That's the and to make an announcement. You know, I don't know if everybody knows about this, but we are going to have We're going to have Roger Mayweather and Floyd Money Mayweather on the show next week. We're going to just really chop it up with them and drop some bomb questions on him to see whether it gets answered. Because I know a lot of hardcore fight fans, man, really want to find out some things that are going on. One is, hey, are you going to finally fight Sugar Shane Mosley? Are you going to fight Manny Pacquiao? Is Manny going after Cotto? Why did you pick Juan Manuel Marquez rather than Berto? Hey, man, and are you ever going to get in the ring and face the Puerto Rican star Miguel Cotto? You know, so all these questions that all the fans want to know, hey, man, you're going to get your chance to ask Money Mayweather himself, the pretty boy, Fly. And but, you know, I got to stress this. As long as you call in and you're respectful, you know, I don't want anybody to get on there and saying some mad, stupid stuff where, you know, you ruin it for the rest of the everybody else that wants to have a chance in talking to Money Floyd, you know, because, you know, you got to remember this, is even though he's a fighter, he's a figure, and you feel as a fight fan that you could take a verbal jab at him, he's taking the time out of his life to get on air to chop it up with us hardcore boxing fans, you know. Chris 916, man, any questions that you have in mind right now that you're looking at maybe asking Money and Roger?
With Roger, you know, I kind of want to ask him about I heard Floyd Sr. after Ricky Hatton got knocked out was hanging out after, you know what I'm saying, after the fight, celebrating with the fans, taking pictures and autographs. I don't know, I kind of want to hear what his thoughts are on the training, you know, if your fighter got knocked out, you know what I'm saying, viciously, and if you're, you know, if you'd really want to be in the mood to not tend to your fighter and just hang out with the people, you know. And with Floyd, I mean, obviously I want to ask him the questions everyone does, why hasn't he faced this person and that person, but more so, what motivated the comeback? Was it money? Was it Manny Pacquiao taking his spot and getting the recognition that Floyd had at the time of the, you know, he retired, you know? I mean, I'm sure me and everybody else on the line and everyone's going to be calling in can think of a bunch of questions, you know. I just got to make sure I go about them in a respectful way and don't offend them, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. David Chan, man, I'm curious about your thoughts, about your input and your insight about Floyd Mayweather, man. If you could kind of break it down to us, what is he thinking about and why is he thinking facing Juan Manuel Marquez? Why did he pick this particular opponent?
You know what, man? You can it's pretty clear to me anyway, although obviously I don't know the inside of Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s head, but it looks like Floyd wants to do Manny like Manny's been doing him, because Manny's been going around and basically dominating that, you know, dominating the fighters that Floyd has fought, but performing better in those, you see what I mean, doing better. And Floyd figures, hey, if I'm going to come back, I'm A, going to get a fight that I think I can have a good chance of winning, and B, trying to do what Manny's been doing to me, you know, get Marquez, who is arguably the fighter that Manny has struggled against the most. So I'm going to put him away really good, and then that'll be my way of striking back at Manny and hyping up a possible fight with the pound-for-pound king, because I don't care what they're going to do later with the press, whatever. They can argue about the split, whatever. It's all drama. They're going to make this fight happen. This is the fight everybody wants to see. So I think that's his way of making it juicier.
You know what? I kind of agree with you on that, man. I really didn't even think about that, but it makes complete sense. You know, he's trying to make a statement by, okay, you know what, Manny, you knocked out the guys. You did it in much better fashion than I did. So it's my turn. You know, it's like a game of touch and tag. You know what I mean? He's gonna go and try to outclass the fighter that you couldn't obviously outdo, which is Juan Manuel Marquez. But of course, he's gonna take some lashes from it, because the hardcore fans are like, yo, he's too little for you, man. This is a predictable fight. But in reality, it isn't, because Marquez is probably one of the more intelligent fighters stepping in the ring. And I don't know, is it fair to say that Marquez is probably one of the most intelligent fighters that Floyd has faced in his career, too. Chris?
Yeah, no, definitely. Everyone always says that, you know, Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Juan Manuel Marquez got the highest in-ring IQs. You know, and I believe that. I mean, they're just technically so sharp inside there. You know, they just pick their opponents apart, and that's, like, both their biggest assets and strengths inside the ring. But, you know, I mean, like you said, even if Floyd dominates him, he's not going to get the same kind of respect that Manny did for you know, crushing De La Hoya and had more impressively than Floyd did because he's a bigger guy. In my opinion, in a way, it's like much of Floyd's career. It's a big fight, but it's a safe fight. You know, aside from Diego Corrales, I don't think I've ever seen a fight Floyd was in where the opponent was dangerous or a real threat to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had to really worry too much about him, you know, where it wasn't kind of a safe bet, so to speak.
That's true. David Chan, man, do you got some input on that?
God, I mean, obviously Marquez, you know, he's a great fighter. I think one of Marquez's strengths over the years has actually been he's not a physically extremely talented guy. So he had to make it up by having skill and accuracy on his shots. You know, he does a lot of work to make sure he is at the skill level he is at right now because, he is not the natural athlete as some of these other guys like Floyd and Manny. And, you know, obviously the other half of his fights are made up of his heart. You know, his heart is unquestionable. He has overcome a lot of difficult things. I think it's fair to say that in his recent fights, every single one, he has done something great. So it shouldn't be too much of a shock to see him really be in the fight 100% against Floyd for the whole way, whether it's 12 rounds, you know, no matter what. As long as he's, you know, on both feet, he's going to put up a good fight. And he is a smaller guy. I don't think Floyd's going to get hurt too much, but I think he is going to get surprised, and I think we'll all be.
Absolutely. You know, let me ask you guys, you know, everybody that's on the line right now, I want to ask you, starting with David Chan, what is your definition of great?
My definition of great, I guess it's not necessarily your skill or maybe even your accomplishments. It's how you fight your fights and how much you've contributed to the sport. You know, for example, Muhammad Ali was great because of what he represented, some of the values he represented for the, you know, for the movement back in the day. You know, Joe Louis, he was a national hero, stuff like that. And also, you know, you don't have to be the best fighter, but as long as you put on the good fights, memorable fights like Arturo Gatti did, you know, things like that. So I think it's when you do something memorable, then you're considered great.
916, Chris, what is your definition of great?
In the boxing realm, like if I was defining a fighter as great, I got to say guy that faces all the top opposition, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't duck anyone necessarily, you know, he doesn't just take easy fights. And a guy that excels in that spot, you know what I'm saying? A guy that's not afraid to challenge himself, get out there, win or lose, gives it his best. But, you know, a guy that's able to perform on the top level, you know, numerous occasions, not has like one big win, you know, and that's it. A guy like, you know, a perfect example in my mind is Sugar Ray Leonard. You know, the guy fought all the big names, Hagler, Duran, Hearns, Benitez. You know, he challenged himself against the top guys, and he looked great in the performances and in the fights. You know, regardless of what you think of the Hagler decision, you know, the fact of the matter is he went after all the big names, and, you know, he performed well in them, and he's a great fighter, you know, in my opinion, you know, for that, for his track record.
In regards to that, he ducked Aaron Pryor, too, right?
Hey, man.
You got to throw that in there, Chris. Chris, you got to throw that in there, too. I mean, he ducked Aaron Pryor. It's you know, it's as plain as day. He ducked Aaron Pryor. Future boxer, what is your definition of great?
My definition of great is when a person has heart and is willing to fight, like, anyone, not ducking anyone, and is a great guy, like a caring person, you know, like a cool guy. Like, he doesn't think, like, an example I would use was Ricky Hatton, because Ricky Hatton, like, was watching 24/7, you know, he's a caring guy, you know, he goes to the local pub, you know, he's a cool guy, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't think, like, he's, you know, all this and that, like, not taking anything away from Mayweather, but you know how, you know, he'd be wearing those things that says filthy rich or whatever and stuff, you know, he has all the money. Ricky's not like that, so that's a great example of being great.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to tell you why I'm asking you guys the definition of great. I've been getting a lot of emails. I got one right here. It says, 97 Rough, man, love the show. Love you guys. Your guys' insight is one of a kind. But I have a quick question for you. Manny Pacquiao, a lot of his fans are calling him the greatest, the great fighter. He's compared to Sugar Ray Robinson, to Muhammad Ali, and even better than any other fighter that has been for the past decade. Do you agree with this? Can you give me the definition of great? Well, first off, if you're going to say Marquez is great, then you obviously got to say Manny Pacquiao is great. Now, my definition of greatness is this. In order to be in the same limelight of like a Jack Johnson or especially a Sugar Ray Robinson, you have to do all the accomplishments that, especially Sugar Ray Robinson. Let me back this up. Muhammad Ali, first off, to me, in my opinion, and a lot of historians, is not a great fighter. He had a lot of flaws to his game. But what made him great was what he stood for. And I think that's what makes Manny Pacquiao great himself. Humanity, his humanity is what's great. I think that's what oversees. 20, 40, 50, 60 years from now, people are still going to be talking about how much he was a contribute to the Philippines, how much he was a Robin Hood, how much he gave back to the Filipino people, you know, because you can't summon his whole career because it's not over yet. But I should tell you this, he is on the road of being a great fighter by fighting pretty much every top fighter that's been in front of him and showing A-class fighting game and improving in his game, you know. So I'm not going to argue and say he's not great, but I'm not going to say at this moment he's a great fighter, because if I say he's great, then I'm going to have to say, you know, Marquez is great, which I don't think so either. I think Marquez still has a long road to go. You know, he didn't get a Barrera in his prime. He didn't get a Morales in his prime. He fought Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, who really, honestly, was still moving up, a champion that it was, in all retrospect, he was a prospect that had a bout, you know, but hadn't accomplished a lot of the other things in order to be a great fighter. Now, Marquez, yes, he gave Manny Pacquiao his problems. You know, they went back and forth. Their you know, first match, rematch, it's going to be, you know, they're linked to each other for history for the rest of their lives. But he didn't have a dominant win over him, so he still edges out into trying to define whether how great he is. You can't put him in the same breath as Julio Cesar Chavez. Can't put him in the same breath of Salvador Sanchez. That, to me, is what makes great. Same thing with like Miguel Cotto, because I get a lot of people about that. Miguel Cotto, in my opinion, is still a work in progress. You cannot put him with Tito Trinidad, you know, because Tito Trinidad was a great fighter. He fought everybody that was put in front of him, and he had a great era to try to expose that or, you know, run with, man. He had great fighters that could challenge him to bring out the greatness with him. 916 Chris, agree with me, not agree with me, or you have anything to add to that?
First off, talk about a coincidence. Right now on ESPN Fights, they're talking about Teddy Atlas and all them. Where does Pacquiao rank with the all-time greats? But my personal opinion is, you know, I mean, I don't know, opinions about what's great and what isn't in boxing or anything in life, it's subjective. You know what I'm saying? Me and you may have a different opinion, even if we think alike on a lot of other things in terms of boxing. Do I think Manny Pacquiao's a great fighter? I'm going to say yeah. I mean, his career's not done, but he's done something that few boxers, actually only one of the boxers, done. He's won titles in 6 different divisions. Even if his, you know, who he beat at certain titles to win titles, like a David Diaz or something, weren't the big name in that division or whatever, just to accomplish something like that's pretty good. And the way he does it, his last 3 fights, 3 separate weight divisions, absolutely dominated his opponents. You know what I'm saying? The performance he puts on, you know, isn't afraid to take on any challenges, doesn't appear, you know. I mean, we'll see if he fights Marquez a third time or Mayweather, you know. But, you know, he's willing to challenge himself, like I said, and his performances speak for themselves, you know. And like a future boxer was saying, you know, also he's a great person. He's a great ambassador for the sport. So, you know, I just think on a lot of different terms I can say he's great. It's hard to compare him to a Chavez or, you know, Salvador Sanchez. You know, Henry Armstrong, I know a lot of people compare him to now, because his career is not through. But if he was to retire tomorrow and you just look back on his career and his resume, I would say, yes, he was a great fighter.
You know, I mean, obviously all the opposition that he's facing, man, he's pretty much leading himself into that road of being called great. You know, and I did mention a long time ago was, you know, hey, there is a big chance that if he gets past Oscar De La Hoya, that he's going to be facing some of the he's going to be too busy. He's going to have guys calling him out from every division, every superstar, and that's pretty much. And I think that's what's going to lead him into greatness. Now, humanity-wise, I think he's already accomplished that. I mean, the guy's a great dude, you know what I mean? He does so much stuff is that how can you not like this man? You know, how do you not appreciate what he brings to the sport and what he does for the Filipino people, you know, because, man, I mean, there's just no way of sitting there arguing and say, I don't like that fighter. It's impossible not to like this fighter. I got a call from area code 646. Go ahead and state your name, where you calling from, brother, and what can we do for you? Hello? Hello? Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Yo,
state your name,
up?
Where you calling from?
Calling
from
Chicago.
Chicago? 773. Borgs, what's
yeah.
going on, man? How you doing?
What up, man? I'm doing good.
Good, good. David Chan, man, agree with me, don't agree with me, or you got anything to add on to what I was talking about at the moment?
You pretty much nailed it, man. I do think Manny is on his way to becoming one of the greats. I mean, his activities outside the ring certainly help him in that regard. He is a very likable guy. He has involved himself, you know, he's such an influential person and such a, you know, ahead of his time kind of thing, a really famous Asian fighter, you know, extremely pioneer type of fighter. So, and his ring accomplishments, especially with his last fight with Ricky Hatton, he's really, you know, on his way to becoming one of the greats. But just like you said, he's becoming one of the greats, but he's not quite there yet.
Borgs, man, what do you think, man? Manny Pacquiao heading on to the greatness or just a great humanity? Can we hold him in the same breath of a Sugar Ray Robinson 10 years from now or no?
Well, you know, not right now. I mean, he will have to fight at least a couple more fights that will notify him as one of the greatest. But he did beat Mexican legends as in Herrera and Eric Morales. And he beat you can safe to say a pound for pound, which is Marquez, number two. But, you know, I think he'll have to fight notable wins, like maybe a few more in vintage fashion for him to be notified as, you know, one of the greatest to ever go down in boxing.
You know, and that's another thing, you know, like I was mentioning, you know, if you put Manny Pacquiao at this moment in a category of great, in that definition of great, you know, then Marquez, then you got to definitely put Manny Pacquiao above that because 916 Chris, can you argue about the fact that Marquez, regardless of what his skills are and how intelligent he is, he has not done half the things that a Manny Pacquiao has done at the moment?
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, I would say Marquez is a great Mexican boxer, but would I mean, you can't put him on the same level as Manny Pacquiao because he hasn't accomplished as much. You know, he does have names, like you said, like Barrera, but he caught Barrera at the tail end, you know, and he also didn't beat Barrera as decisively as Manny Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? He
Absolutely.
Never got the showdowns with Morales. You know, the Pacquiao fights, you can debate those, who do you think won, but, you know, the Diaz win was good. If he beats Floyd Mayweather, you know what I'm saying, then he's going to definitely inch closer to that, but just thus far on what you said, I mean, I really like Marquez. I think he's a really, really good boxer, but I wouldn't, like, consider him one of the all-time greats. Great Mexican boxer, yes, but one of the all-time greats, not yet.
You know, I totally agree with that, you know, and I know some people are going to email me about, oh, how could you say that? You know, he beat, you know, so-and-so, and he did this, and he did that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is this, is you cannot ignore the resume of Marquez. You can't ignore the fact that, you know, he didn't beat Barrera in such a fashion where it was really convincing. And he got dropped by Barrera, you know, and he got him in the tail end of his career. You know, and then finding the Babe Ruth Diaz, he had problems with him too. And he did knock him out, yes, but was Diaz is in the same level of Eric Morales or Barrera or any of the other guys? No. Caller from area code 407. State your name. Where are you calling from, brother? What can we do for you?
It's not a brother. It's a female. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Fine.
Where's your man at? Is he asleep?
How did I get here before him? Ain't that some shit?
I know. You're always beating him. What is he doing? Is it, it's what, 11 o'clock over there?
I think I swim and run faster. Yeah, it's 11.
Did you outwork this guy too much? Is that what happened?
I'm just tired of Max VSL emailing you. I'm tired of it. I mean, that is like a low blow that you go to the guy's email. That's like really low and pathetic. Come on now.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Huh?
That is so low for a man, a grown-ass man, to go to, you know, if you have an out with another man, you go to his female, like, that is so low. That's like, he's a real bitch.
He is. You know, and now he's starting up with a new account, and he's getting on there and trying to pretend that he's blood. That's even funnier to me. And you know what? What can you do about the guy, man? I mean, you know, hey, it's to reach your own. You think you're funny, you think you're hard. Hey, man, karma's a bitch. That's all I got to say. You know, I don't want to talk about the guy at the moment because these are all happy days for us. You know, we're hardcore boxing fans, and I think we want to talk about boxing. Now with 6 Chris, man, you got Antonio Tarver. We did talk about it, you know, yesterday. He's got his fight coming up. Read that he's more motivated in this fight. You know, I've also read, too, you know, he's been successful in all his rematches. But I don't know if he's going to be quite successful. And how motivated can he be facing the Chad Dawson? Chad Dawson right now is, I believe, either he's at his peak or he's almost there at his peak of his career. Break it down for us, brother. What do you think?
If coming off that loss and getting a rematch and trying to get a revenge win ain't motivation enough, then nothing is. You know what I'm saying? He got humiliated in that fight. He got schooled. You know, he should want to come back and just beat Dawson for how bad Dawson made him look. You know what I'm saying? Dawson made Tarver irrelevant with that fight. You know, if Tarver wouldn't have had this rematch clause, he would be on the outs. Wouldn't no one be calling his name? He wouldn't be getting no televised fights, in my opinion. You know, and I think he is motivated, man. At the weigh-ins, he came in at 172. You know, so you got to work your ass off to get down to 172, you know, when you're a guy his age. You know, because he struggled to make 175 in the past. So I think he's got the motivation in. But, you know, once again, I just don't think it's going to be enough. You know, regardless of the success he's had in rematches in the past. You know,
right, right.
Like I said, he's past his prime. Dawson's in his. I got to go with Dawson all the way on this fight.
Absolutely. Caller from 352. Go ahead and state your name. Where you calling from, brother? What can we do for you, man?
What's up, Blood, man?
Blood. What's cracking, brother? We just had your Daily Apple on right now talking to us. Telling us that she wore you out. That's why you're calling in late. Yeah, man. You know, so we're like, hey, it was either her, bro, or it was the Max XL dude calling in with a high pitched voice.
What's she on here talking about?
Yo.
Caller from area code 111. Go ahead and state your name. Where you calling from, brother? What can we do for you today?
Man, this is the Valley Boy. You know what it is, from the 818 Southern Cali Guard Your Grill Boxing Affiliate. What's good, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Yeah, you know what's up, man. I just saw Bob Arum. Well, I saw a tape of Bob Arum talking the biggest yin-yang I ever heard. I didn't know Manny Pacquiao was in the same class as Ali or even compared to that. We might as well have him dig up Rocky Marciano and let's get it popping because Manny Pacquiao, I guess, is the greatest fighter of all time.
You know, we were just talking about that just a little while ago, and let me first off, man, let me say it the Chicano Mexican American way. Let's rewind this shit real quick. Blood, man, give me your definition, please, of great.
Man, first of all, it's like this. Greatness, we all boxing fans, we know what it is. It's not something that's just on paper. Sorry, Joe Calzaghe, in your 46 or whatever, how many points you got. And it's not something that you can And it's not something that you can just, you know, buy in the store or, you know, create like Soulja Boy or Lil Wayne, whatever. Shout out to them. It's bottom line, it's something that's in the ring. It's something that really is undeniable. If you're talking about boxing, it's being able to put them punches better together than no one else, better defense than anybody else. Just have that chin, have that heart. Greatness is being able to say your name in one sentence and everybody know what time it is and there's no debate. That's true greatness.
That is true greatness. Hold on, I got area code also 111. Go ahead and state your name. Where you calling from, brother?
This is UK Guna.
UK Guna, what's going on, man?
Fuck that, he's Valley Boy. You don't know what he's talking about.
You know what greatness is when they just coming on already to cuss you out.
Really,
you
can't go in for real?
No, man.
There's like 15
of them. Rula's ass right here.
Come on, man. You know, Guna ain't not going to call in, man. That was all us Americans on the line. Come on.
That one
dude ripped in his ass earlier, though. he ripped in his ass, dog.
Man, I did watch.
There's 15
you know,
big gooners out there, though.
Yeah. Just like,
I mean,
just like there's 15 blood boxings out there right now. Is that blood?
Yeah, man. They trying to clone me and shit, these motherfuckers, man.
What's
yeah,
up, blood?
Some real fucking haters.
What's up,
man?
What's up, blood? It's Volley Boy. You know what it is, right? It's just riding
yeah,
for free
baby.
Speech. You know the UK don't love that, but hey, that's why we had to break free.
I heard that, bro.
Blood,
I'm
my brother from another mother, blood. Give me your definition of great.
I think great is defined by who you fight, man. You know, like, you know, it's who's on your resume, man. Your resume. That's how I define great. Like, that's why people is saying what they saying about Calzaghe, because. You know, I mean, he waited kind of late to fight Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones, and still, some people think Bernard Hopkins got in that ass.
I want
so,
a rematch.
Real talk.
Yeah,
real talk. So
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, okay? What does a Manny Pacquiao need to do, though, to get that stigma of greatness on his ledger? I get it, his name on there in the same breath of a Sugar Ray Robinson, Jack Johnson,
wow.
Among all these
wow.
other great fighters. What does he need to do?
Wow, he might need to dig up some opponents that ain't in this era because, man, what they did, I don't think is going to ever be duplicated. I mean, he can get on his original swagger and try to beat the best of this era, which he's doing, but at the end of the day, true greatness is going to be measured when he just hangs him up and we look at his name and then we look at the names on his resume like Blood talked about, and it's no debate. I mean, he would have to beat Floyd Mayweather to even be considered in that discussion with those guys that you just named. Real talk.
But honestly, in all honesty, man, even being a Floyd Mayweather, Floyd himself, you got to admit, Floyd is never going to be in that same limelight either. So why
no
being
doubt.
Floyd? You know what I mean? How could you measure that by being a Floyd Mayweather?
Because it's all the politics, man.
They didn't have all the
politics back then, man.
Yeah.
You got to get these great fighters to fight each other, man. All these once proclaimed great fighters, they need to be fighting each other, man. We need more of these guys fighting each other.
Exactly.
No doubt. That's real thought.
You know what? Look. I hear what you guys are saying, but this is the truth about this situation. Back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even in the 70s, guys, let's be realistic here. These guys had to fight so many fights. They had to fight 2, 4, 5, 6 times out of a month to make ends meet. We're in a completely different era, different economy at this moment. These guys now literally make, you know, $40 million fighting one single person. So they look at it as this. Why am I going to punish my body? Why am I going to do these certain things? Yes, as hardcore fight fans, those are the definitions that we need in order to put the word greatness behind your name. But in reality, we're not living in the 20s anymore.
No doubt.
It shouldn't be all about money, though.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, but I'll just say one thing then. They can be great in this era, but when you talk about all time, we can't penalize those dudes that was fighting in the sweatshops, fighting 20 matches a year, you know, fighting every other day. We can't penalize them for the weakness, the weak sauce that our era is. So they could be great for now. Like Roy is great in his time, but when we talking all time and all those dudes, nah, it's no, they're never gonna be no Sugar Ray Robinson, ain't gonna be no more Ali's, ain't gonna be no more Joe Louis's, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, because ain't nobody going to have 200 fights no more.
Thank you.
It ain't going to happen.
Corey Moore Stampus might have 200 fights pretty soon.
We might have 200 fights on YouTube. These people keep trying me, though.
That's no doubt right there, man. You know, well, we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully when we get back, man, we're going to have Victor Vicious Ortiz on the line with us. Hope he calls in. It is 7 minutes after 8. It's 7 minutes after 11 over there in the East Coast, if I'm correct, man. You know, just, you know, we're looking forward to getting Victor. We are next week, man. I got to make the announcement because I can see there's a lot of numbers on right now. Everybody's tuning in and listening to the Leaving in the Ring, which are host 97 Rough Blood, 916 Chris, David Chen. We're going to have Roger and Floyd get on air with us, man, and chop it up and maybe give us their definition of what great should be. We'll be right back, man, after these short little...
Yeah, bringing it back to the block, man, you know. Life's more than
just back
on track, you know. The real ones don't feel me. So, yeah, and I'm still on the track. Nailed to it back, yeah, I am where I'm at. These stone walls, my heart is like that. And I do live like lines of anthrax. Devil still hard on my back. Stone hard, cold, about to crack before I live like that. Going fence, black rose, tucked in the ghetto. Red dot, Teflon, tucked with the metal. Yeah, on this black roller coaster. Twin hosters, host the fate of these toners. Like a locomotive, I'm on her. Life is a bitch as soon as you cross her. All out, and I know you heard that before. But somebody's black man, a kid just a door. Live for the rush, just in for the love plus. Never seems right once you bathe in the lush, yeah. I've been up, down, in the middle of it. In the center of it, like roller coaster. Been north, south, midwest, and it's in death with it, like roller coaster. Been all around, right back on it. Right smack on it, like roller coaster. So I guess I'm stuck on the wheels of it. Right here on it, like roller coaster. And I play the front seat on it. One way trip, no baggage, no luggage. Just all my eggs put in the basket and hold my dough stretched like Alaska. Yeah, see these eyes deep as a gypsy. I close my eyes, hope God forgive me. Yeah, and it's in my blood for four seasons. Four different ways, that's four ways of eating. All so hard out here. My veins went numb out here. Got your boy out here. Looking at the sky, bricks in front of me. Doing, doing wrong, keep your angels all over me, Lord. It's a hard road, thrown in early. In with the sharks, had to swim out only. To dry off, dance with wolves. And I'm back in, back with wolves. So I guess I'm good. I've been up, down, in the middle of it. In the center of it, like roller coaster. Been north, south, midwest, and it's in death with it, like roller coaster. Been all around, right back on it. Right smack on it, like roller coaster. So I guess I'm stuck on the wheels of it. Right here on it, like roller coaster. You know, the only ones that's out there can really feel where I'm coming from. These curves, these blocks, you know what I'm saying? It's like they pull you right back in, you know? I am all in these buildings. Back to the block, back to the pillin'. Big faces on here, yeah, I'm on there. Like clockwork, you can find a boy on there. Days, nights, slow and hard. Plus the adrenaline rush, rush like shooting stars. Pain, yeah, been there. Plus I've been square, right in the shadow of death. A comfort zone here. Ain't it funny, the love of the block might just might have your boy laid out, yeah. Shell shock, can't pace the feeling. Overdose, just chase the feeling. Something like a high, I hike the block literally. Block cities, block the chain, it's there mentally. And it's killing me slow, no known answer. The life I see is more like a cancer.
All right, man, we're back, Leaving in the Ring. Special edition, man, and thanks everybody from the East Coast,
staying up waiting for Victor Ortiz to get on the line. We're still waiting for him to call in. Hopefully he gets on here pretty fast. We got to make some shout-outs to the guys that pay the bills, our sponsors. You know, the guys that really keep us motivated, keep us going, and keep us out there so that all the hardcore boxing fans still get a chance to listen to us and to hear our opinions and debate with us. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, 431 Monterey Street, Hollister, California, 95023. Toll-free number, 866-910-2245. Any jail, any bail in the nation. You know, if you act a fool, give them a ring. They'll come and bail your asses out so that you can join the show. Well, I had a chance, man, to interview Roger Mayweather yesterday and had some questions asked to him, and he answered them pretty fairly quick, you know, for me. I did post it up on YouTube. It should be up right now. If it ain't, it takes a few minutes for it to get up on there. But one of the questions was this, man, and what caught my ear right away is when he goes, I asked him, after Manny Pacquiao, if you get past Manny Pacquiao, what happens? You guys go back into retirement? And he said, no, that's not why we came back. We didn't come back just for Manny Pacquiao. We came back to take everybody on. We know what people were saying. We know we hear all the BS that everybody's saying, and we're going to shut them down. And Danny goes, and one of the guys that we're looking forward to shutting down finally is Sugar Shane Mosley. Blood. What do you think, man? You think there's some truth to that, or is this another deploy of getting the fans to get them all juiced up all over again, and there's no finish at the end of the job?
I think if they for Mosley, they need to hurry up and do it. Don't wait till the man's 40 years old. He's getting up there in age. So, you know, get up on that right away, right after Manny Pacquiao. I think Floyd's going to beat Pacquiao. He's going to beat Marquez, and then let's see if he's true to his word. And go for Mosley. But we don't want to wait too long because Mosley already 37, so we don't want to wait too long on it.
Now, let me ask you this, man, you know, and this is for all the guys that, you know, answer this question. Is there a possibility, even with given the performance that we saw, Sugar Shane Mosley at the Staples in January, destroying the indestructible force, supposedly, Antonio Margarito, are a lot of fans right now putting the sheets over their eyes, believing he could do this to a Floyd Mayweather? 916, Chris?
You know, I don't know, man. Mosley did look great in that performance against Margarito, but Margarito looked a little tired going into that fight, if you noticed the walk-in and the, you know, everything. And I'm sure his head wasn't right.
So that's a lot of plaster to carry, Chris. Chris, that's a lot of plaster to carry all the way to the ring. That
yeah,
might be one of the reasons why he was tired.
Yeah. But anyways, man, when it comes down to Mosley Mayweather, you know, the thing with Mayweather, a guy like Mosley, he's motivated because he's a fighter at heart. You know what I'm saying? Mayweather, it seems like he's motivated not just by saying he's Money Mayweather, but by the money. I mean, he's already done these semi-retirements twice because he said he was just burnt out on boxing. He's tired. You can only leave the game for so long and so many times where you're not coming back, you know, for the love of the game. You're coming back for money, where that's going to catch up with you. You know what I'm saying? You get in there with Mosley, who's motivated to be the best. You know what I'm saying? You might end up getting your ass kicked.
Hmm. Yep, that could be true, man. That could be true. Hold on real quick. I got a call up from area code 111. Go ahead and state your name. Where you calling from, brother?
This is Victor Ortiz, professional
Victor
boxer.
Victor Ortiz. What's up, man? The Vicious. How you doing, brother? Everybody's been anticipating for you to get on, man, and chop it up with you. First off, how's training camp going for you, man?
It's going well, man. I'm actually doing very well. The weight's been down. I mean, I don't really get too heavy. So other than that, I've been hitting it hard every day. I'm not going to lie, though. Today, my coach has kind of worn me out, so I had to kind of take the day off, you know. I mean, but tomorrow I gotta get back into it. You know, it's I think any time my body asks me for a break, I listen to it. So today was that day, and I was just like, Coach, I don't mean to be a weenie or anything, but my body's really asking me to calm down. So, you know, that's it, though. How's everything over there?
Man, everything's doing good, brother. You know, I'm over here by the bay. You know, me and you have talked a few times. You know, I was there when you fought at the San Jose Pavilion and did your craft. and got rid of your opponent within the first round, man. We have chopped it up in front of the Staples. A-class guy, man. It's just hard not to like Victor Ortiz. I mean, shouldn't it be happy-go Victor Ortiz rather than vicious Victor Ortiz?
I guess, man. I've always, you know, I'm just me, bro. I'm not trying to be anybody who's all tough and stuff. I mean, that's just, you know, that's the game face, and when it's on, it's on, and I can't turn it off, but it works for me. I mean,
absolutely, man.
Idiot, you know?
Let me ask you something, Victor, because I was talking about this a little earlier, and I was saying, you got your fight coming up, but in all honesty, man, I can't even pronounce the dude's last name. How do you pronounce this opponent, or does that even matter to you about pronouncing the guy's name, because you're just going to add him to the victim list coming up on that match?
No, you know, I've always respected all my opponents. This guy, Marcos Maidana.
He's a good fighter. I'm not taking nothing away from him, but I just couldn't figure out his last name. I was sitting there, and I was like, damn, how do you pronounce this guy's last name? Because I'd hate to say his last name, and really, honestly, it would sound like we're trying to, you know, discredit him, but we're really not, because this is a tough opposition that you're facing. This guy's not a soft touch, you know?
No.
But I just was wondering if you knew the guy's last name and maybe kind of helped us out by pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Maidana, and if it's not Maidana, then hey, I don't know what it is, but I'll be ready for sure.
After you done with him, he's going to be Madonna. He's going to change his name to Madonna after you done with his ass.
Yeah.
And Victor, we're going to pass the phone, man. I've got a lot of calls, man, for you right now. I know a lot of people want to talk to you, ask you some questions really quick. I'm going to first pass it on to 916 Chris out of Sacramento, California. Go ahead and ask your question to Vicious Victor Ortiz, brother.
Yeah, cool. Victor, man. You know, originally your opponent, I think they said, was going to be Kotelnik for the title of 140, and then it seems like, you know, somehow Amir Khan slipped into that spot. So I'm just curious, do you have a preference on who you'd like to win that fight and who you'd like to face? Because I know people keep talking about they want to see you and Amir Khan, and, you know, there's conflicting stories on you guys may have in a sparring session in the past and whatnot, but, you know, I'm sure you'd like to fight Kotelnik, too, for pulling this little underhanded move. So do you have a preference of who you'd like to win that fight and which one of those fighters you'd like to face?
Amir Khan and Kotelnik, preference. I really don't have a preference, you know. Either or, I'll take them any, you know. They give me a shot, I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and run from anyone, but I can assure you I'll be ready. You know, they're both great fighters, and one of them's a world champion for a reason. The other one was an Olympian, you know, so, you know, they're great fighters, man. But at the same time, I'm no walk in the park, so, you know, we'll be ready.
Hey, you know, Victor, there's a rumor out there right now that they're possibly trying to make the match between you and Amir Khan. Is there any truth to that rumor, or that's pretty much where it is, a rumor?
I couldn't really tell you. I'm not looking to fight anyone right now. I have my target right now, and it's set on Marcos Madania. So as far as that goes, you know, I'm not looking for anyone right now. And if they're looking for me, then I'm not running.
Let him look.
I'm just taking my time.
Right. Absolutely, brother. David Chen, man, go ahead. Solarplex, there will be bloodfightshow.com. Ryder, go ahead and ask your question to Victor Ortiz, brother.
Hey, Victor, first of all, I got to give you mad respect, man. I followed your story for a while, and you came from a rough place, but you really turned your life around and made a lot of it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still trying, actually.
Yeah, my question would be, you know, your opponent, Maidana Marcos, he's had a pretty good fight with Kotelnik when he had his championship shot. You know, he got a split decision, was very close. Have you studied his style at all? How are you going to go about this fight? Can you let us in a little bit about what weaknesses you see and how you might possibly approach it?
Yeah, you know, I have been watching some video footage on him, and I'm aware that he's a very strong fighter and a hard puncher, but at the same time, you know, I don't really reveal what I'm going to do or work on. All I know is that, you know, he and I are in for a long night, and, you know, may the best man win.
Absolutely. Valley boy,
go ahead
and ask your question, man. Go ahead and ask your question to Victor Ortiz, brother.
What's going on, Vic? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Just enjoying a pizza slice.
that's right. What top is on there?
It's Canadian bacon with pineapple, man.
Oh, that's what's up. I just wanted to ask real quick, as a boxer, as a master craftsman, you know what I mean? What's your favorite tool out of everything, like in the ring? Like, what's the thing you're proudest of your whole fight game? Like, what's the one thing when they think Victor Ortiz, it's like, this is me right here?
I'd probably say the smile, maybe. I'm not sure, man. I couldn't really tell you much on that. I just I go in there and I go to war, man. I just, you know.
Try to bomb them out, huh?
Yes, sir. That's it.
I'm not mad at it.
Absolutely, man. My co-host, Blood Brother, I know you're itching there to ask a question, but we obviously had to let everybody ask real quick. Go ahead, Blood. Ask your question, man. Victor Ortiz.
Victor Ortiz, man. I know you saw that fight this weekend, man, this past weekend with Manny Pacquiao and Hatton. Can you see yourself fighting Pacquiao down the line, man? You're pretty close to weight and everything, so is that somebody you gunning for in the future?
Why not, man? Why not? You just tell me when.
Oh, you ready now? You ready? Oh, so you ready for him now?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really saying that, but hey, if it comes down to it, and if it's bound to happen, it's bound to happen. But other than that, you know, like I said earlier, I'm my target's set on Madania already. So, but yeah, of course I watched it, and you know, it was a hell of a fight. There was some mistakes on Hatton's part, and y'all took advantage.
Absolutely. Caller from area code 973, man. Go ahead and state your name. Where you calling from, brother, and ask your question to Victor Ortiz.
Yeah, it's me, man, Future Boxer. My stupid cell phone is a piece of shit. Just hang up, man. My bad. I'm just calling back.
Go ahead and ask your question, brother. That's okay. We forgive you.
What's up, Victor? My question to you is, would you ever fight undefeated Lamont Peterson in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Just tell me when.
I don't know, man. Whenever you're ready, man, because, you're a great boxer. I don't care. You be knocking people out, so whenever you're done with it.
No, I mean, you know what? Honestly, there's a lot of great fighters out there, and my respects to all of them. But, you know, this is it's a sport. Everyone wants to meet up with everyone. And you know, my way of just dealing with it is, hey, I don't complain. I just I go with it. I mean, if it's bound to happen, it's going to happen. And if a fight's destined to happen, I mean, you can't beat around the bush. It's going to come at you sooner or later. I mean, you can only run for so long. So my way of dealing with it is, hey, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Or, you know, like right now, I'm just targeting, you know, Madania. I know he's a hell of a fighter, and we're in for a long night. So I'll be ready.
Vic, let me ask you this, man. Making 140, you know, having a chance to watch you train and getting in there and doing your thing live, I've noticed you're a fairly big 140-pound fighter. At what point in your career do you feel, I can't make this weight anymore, or are you making it fairly easy right now, or are you struggling to stay at that trim 140 at this moment?
No, I actually, well, put it this way. I got to eat. That whole week when I was on weigh-ins, I was eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the morning of weigh-ins, I got to eat breakfast. So, I don't know. I guess I have a pretty hard time making
eating pizza right now.
I know. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
See, I eat one slice, dude, and I gain like 20 pounds and shit. What's going on, man?
That's bullshit.
Hey, I got to... Caller from area code 760. Go ahead and ask your question, brother. Tell me your name and state where you're calling from and ask your question to Victor Ortiz.
What's up, baby? This is Big Red.
How you doing,
Big
man?
Big Red, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Just chilling, man. Just chilling. Hey, I got a question for you, Victor. I had a chance to watch you fight on the undercard with De La Hoya and Forbes, and I think that was Dario Salas, if I'm not mistaken. And you were knocked down with the flash punch or flash knockdown.
That was crazy, huh?
Yeah, man. Hey, yeah, it was, man. It caught me by surprise. I was like, what the hell? But anyways, man, when something like that happens to you, though, I mean, what do you take from that? What is it that you learned from that? I mean, was there something you were doing wrong in the ring? Was it just a punch that just got lucky? I mean,
No, definitely. I did my studying right away, and I figured out exactly what I did wrong. I didn't listen to my corner. They told me to pick up the left hand. I thought I was too strong, and I went in there like a dumbass and left the guard down, and there you go. You know, you everyone falls.
Right, right. Was that the first time you've ever been knocked down with it?
Yes, sir.
Hopefully the last. Light, light.
First and hopefully the last, exactly.
All right, let me pass it off because I know, you know, baby, it's a little late for you, and I'm pretty sure, man, you got some stuff planned that, you know, you want to go and do. And before even that, man, tell your brother I said what's up, bro. I'm going to pass on to another person so they can ask some questions because I got, you know, people wanting to ask you. Go ahead, Chris from Sacramento again. Go ahead, man, I'm going to give you another shot. Go ahead and ask your question to Vicious Victor Ortiz, brother.
Yeah, Victor. You know, Fernando Vargas, one of my favorite fighters. You know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of comparisons. People are comparing you to a young Vargas. You know, being out of Oxnard, you know what I'm saying? The way he started his career, the way your career is going at the moment. How do you feel about those comparisons? You know, is that a guy that you look up to? And is there anything that maybe you could learn from Fernando's career? You know, unfortunately, it kind of flamed out kind of fast. Is there anything you could learn from Fernando Vargas' career to, you know, take into your own, you know, that you don't take on these dangerous fights too soon or anything there?
Well, there's definitely a lot to learn from Fernando Vargas. One is I was once a big fan. I admired his style when I was a youngster, about 14, 15, you know, growing up. That was my idol, basically. And growing up and kind of experiencing and witnessing, you know, the way things work sometimes, it's better for me to just be my own persona and no one else. But on top of that, you know, I ended up leaving La Colonia about 3 years ago, and I train out of Ventura. So I've been there for maybe a good 2.5 years now from top-notch boxing gym, and they treat me like a human being, you know, not some dog. So, you know, as far as that goes, hey, man, I don't know. Everyone has their people they follow, but as of right now, I really like to idolize and look up to, you know, Oscar De La Hoya and Bernard Hopkins, Chirby Shane Mosley, the all-time greats. And I don't know, you know, those are definitely people that I would want to be like, you know.
You know what, Victor, you know, we talked about that one time, and, you know, I did mention that to you one time. I said, you know, a lot of fight fans are comparing you to a Fernando Vargas, but in all reality, your style is nothing like Fernando Vargas. Maybe in the beginning of his career, but I think a lot of people just kind of put that on because of the fact that you were residing in Oxnard, California, but I don't know. I think me and Chris have talked about that too, Chris, right?
Yeah, definitely.
David Chan, go ahead and ask your question. This is Victor Ortiz, brother.
Hey, Victor, I read, man, when you were coming up, when you were a young boy, you know, you were working multiple jobs trying to support your family, help out, but you still kept your head in the fight game. You know, what motivation, you know, did you have for, you know, having such a busy life, having such a hard life, you know, still be involved in fights and stuff like that?
Well, I can easily tell you what the motivation behind that is. You know, there comes a point in your life when you hit rock bottom, and rock bottom came to me pretty early on, you know, and on top of that, you know, you just kind of, I just had to stay hungry and really keep hungry for what I believed I'd be and strive for that big goal. And, you know, I'm still not happy with where I'm at, you know. I don't see myself as no superstar because I'm not. I mean, hey, I'm still, you know, the only thing that's changed is probably that I don't work at Red Bull anymore, you know, or I don't have to be merchandising any stores. I mean, that's probably the only thing that's changed. I mean, my clothes and the way that I am, I'm still the same guy. I mean, I don't think I'm better than anyone, and I will never be that type of person. So, you know, other than that, I mean, I'm just going to stay hungry and let God do his job and take its toll, you know?
Absolutely. Valley Boy, go ahead and ask your question to Vicious Victor Ortiz, brother.
Hey, Vic, simple question, man. They kind of touched upon it. The weight, you're a little big for that division, but if the promotion is right and, you know, God willing, do you plan to unify that division and just be the top dog before you leave? It's all said and done at 140.
That's definitely the plan, man. And just that's actually what I've always dreamed of doing, but that's not the only division I want to do it in.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no
you
doubt.
Know, I, with God's help, though, you know, of course, first and foremost, you know. This is a tough job, and I know, but at the same time, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Not only to reach the top and just stop. God's help, I want to be there and stay.
I'm pulling for
it to be. I want it to be home. You know.
I'm pulling for you, man. We need some more unified champs in this game.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, Victor, I got a quick question for you, man. Pretty Boy Floyd is coming out of retirement. What are your thoughts about that, brother? And obviously there's guys out there that you can jump on, and, you're still a young guy, strong, and really a lot of people are putting a lot of weight on you right now because they're expecting so much out of the vicious Victor Ortiz. Do you think any chance, is that a fight that you ever maybe think about, like, man, I'd like to get Pretty Boy Floyd in there, Manny Pacquiao, even if you can't get those guys at that moment, how about a Timothy Bradley?
You just tell me when. That's all I got to say. I mean, Floyd's good. I'm not going to lie. He's been a great champion. And, hey, man, but like I said, it's time for the new generation to take over,
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask a question, brother.
Hey, man, I heard you talking about that hunger earlier, man. What keeps you motivated more than anything? What do you think of when you're training that keeps you motivated to stay at the top of your game, bro?
You want to know for real?
For real.
Yeah, man. I go back to my childhood, man. My parents just left me. I got home from school one day. My mom was gone. And I never saw her again. And then, four years later, my mom bounces out. And I just said to myself from then on, all right, these people want to play like this? F you guys. I don't need you. I'm going to be world champion. Matter of fact, I'm going to reign for years to come. I'm going to be the biggest icon in this world ever. I set that in my mind. And you know what? I was angry at the world when I did. And I finally calmed myself down, and I realized that being angry isn't going to get me anywhere, so I calmed down, and hey, man, nowadays, if they ever want to come back into my life, shake my hand, hey, man, by all means, go ahead, but doesn't mean I'm going to ever introduce you to my kids or to my wife if and when I get married and have them, But, I do wake up every morning, and I'm like, you know what, all right, this isn't just for them, it's for me. I've made it a big goal of mine now that I'm not trying to prove anybody anything. I'm trying to prove it to myself now. So it's like I wake up and I say, Vic, show me what you got, man. You want to be world champ? Get your ass up. Let's go.
Damn. That's real talk, Vic. Big time, man. I really respect that, man, I don't know what to say to that, man. You kind of closed it up for everybody right there, Vic.
Real talk. Right,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Red, go ahead and ask your question. I'm going to let only two more questions in, man. Then we got to let Victor Ortiz go. He's got some business to handle. Red, go ahead and ask your question, man.
All right, yeah, I got another one here. When Pacquiao was training, De La Hoya was training for Pacquiao, there was, from my understanding, you had sparred with him, and there were some rumors going around that you were kind of beating De La Hoya up a little bit.
Uh-oh.
24/7, homeboy has a black eye for almost the whole damn series. So I'm wondering, is there any truth to that? I mean, were you working them a little bit, or was that all just blown out of proportion?
Exactly.
You know it's true.
Hey, leave it in the ring. Wants to know, baby. This is exclusive right here.
It comes with the job, man. I mean, I wasn't trying to bruise anybody up, but, hey, it happens, It's not like if I'm trying to tell anybody to, hey, stay still. Stay right there. Don't move. I'm going to land a straight right or a straight left, and you just take it, all right? It's not like that. I mean, we were in the middle of war, in the training camp, and hey, luckily my punch landed before his, maybe. I'm not sure, but it left a pretty nice bruise.
So basically you softened him up for Pacquiao. That's because of you I lost that money on that, huh?
No, I wouldn't even put it. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but he's a great guy, man.
Hey, Victor, let me ask you this, man. We talked one time. You were telling me some of your sparring sessions. Can you kind of get into that, talking about, because if I remember correctly, you told me you got in the ring with Alfredo Angulo one time.
Oh yeah, that was a long time ago already. No, not too long ago. Maybe about a year ago, maybe.
Pretty cool. And how did that go about, man? I mean, how did you hold yourself with him? And was there any trash talking? I mean, do you do any trash talking when you're sparring? I mean, to make it a little fun, or do you keep it strictly off?
I did that day, bro. I was, you know, I'm a 140. He's a 154, so I was really tempted and kind of like checking out how much power and stuff he really had. So I was like, you're a dog, you ain't no dog, you're a chihuahua. Come on, show me what you got. Come on. I was just having fun with it, though. You know, I was never trying to make anybody feel bad, but it got me and it got him to come forward and it got me to just, you know, do my job and make myself comfortable in the ring. So, you know, I step in the ring with a confidence in knowing that, hey, this is my house, this is my office, and nobody else's. So that's why I busted out with, come on, you're a dog? You ain't no dog, you're a chihuahua. Come on, show me what you got. You know, so, yeah, but after that, you know, we got out of the ring, and of course, I hugged him, and I said, hey, man, I apologize. I just, you know, I get carried away. You're a hell of a fighter, but, you know, thank you. That was it, you know. It doesn't go beyond, like, you know, like, I don't go around hating on anybody, or if they hate me, then, hey, I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to offend or make anyone sad, but I'm doing my job in the ring, and I like to kind of do it my way, you know.
Absolutely. If you had a chance, man, to get in the ring and work with Evan Velayo, who's, you know, coming up in your division, is a pretty big puncher, man. Have you had a chance to step in there and mix it up with him?
Yeah, when I was getting ready for the Olympic trials back in 2003, I was 16 years old.
How did that go?
To go to war, man. I was, but then again, I was 16, man. I was more of a fast, quick type of puncher, so I was handling business, though, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I could do a hell of a lot better now.
Now, when you say, Vic, you're handling your business with him, can you kind of give us a description on how you were handling it? I mean, did you have a chance of rocking him? Did you drop him? Or you were just completely just peppering him up?
No, I wasn't. I obviously wasn't dropping him. I didn't really have too much power in the amateurs, but I can tell you, you know, I'd block the lights out of people. And, you know, I wouldn't want to talk back toward him, but it is what it is, you know, like, I would hold my own in there, as a boy too. So you know, I'm
right.
Now 22 years old, so I'm pretty sure I've gotten a little stronger, maybe.
Absolutely, man. All right, I'm gonna have one more question for Vic, and we're gonna let him go. David Chen, go ahead and ask your question, brother.
Hey, Vic, can you tell us what it's like hanging out with Oscar, man? Can you give us a little bit of insight on the Golden Boy, something that we don't see from all the, you know, public shows and stuff like that?
Hey, man, he's just a really cool dude, man. He's, like, he's funny as hell. Like, we hang out and stuff, and he treats me like a little brother, man. He's just always, like, he's a funny type of guy, too. Like, he's very spontaneous, and he's actually, he's very humorous. So that really caught me off guard, because every time I see him, I always think he's pretty serious, so I've been intimidated by him. But, no, man, he showed this whole different side of him, and, man, he's such a great person. I love how he is, and just, you know, God bless him, man.
Would you say that the public doesn't really have a good handle on the way he actually is?
A lot of people just kind of misinterpret things sometimes. Like, I heard out in San Jose the day that I fought, somebody tried to take a swing at Oscar. I mean, you know, people like that, they're just...
Wow.
Yeah, they're just... I don't know, man. There's something really wrong with people like that, man, because Oscar is he's a hell of an icon, and on top of that, he's done a lot for the sport. And for himself, you know, you can't be hating on that. I mean, it's just, it's part of life and reality, man.
Wow, man, that sucks, you know. Blood, go ahead, man. You know, I wanted to ask you the last question to Victor Ortiz, brother, and then we're going to let him go.
Bro, you seem like a real humble cat, man. You know, you give a lot of respect to everybody and everything. Just tell me, man, who gave you the name Vicious, bro? Where you get that name from?
That's funny, man. Vicious it up. It was funny because I went from the juniors and I was fighting into the men's open classes in 2003. So I skipped the whole amateur, like, junior experience to go into the men's leagues. And out of 43 guys to get into the Olympic trials, I came out number one, and I was knocking the men out. Like, I was literally knocking them out pretty cold, and then all of a sudden they were like, I'd be smiling at everybody, and I'd be shaking their hands and stuff, like, before the fight even started or anything. And then some of the coaches and Dr. Anderson from Oxnard, he's a chiropractor, good friend of mine, he says, don't let that smile fool you. This kid is vicious. Yeah, it should be more like vicious with a smile. And I said, no, Doc, it's just Victor, man. That just sounds kind of funny. He's like, no way, man. And then after that day, like, people all over the tournament started calling me vicious. Hey, yo, that's vicious. I'm like, nah, just Victor, man, just Victor. And the next thing you know, like, I dislike my name, my middle name, to the fullest, because that's my father's middle name, and he left me when I was a youngster, so there ain't no pride in that. But from there on, I was like, wow, if it's just Victor, it's going to be kind of simple. So then I just decided to just take the name that Dr. Anderson gave me and the whole boxing, USA Boxing, and they gave me vicious, so I was all right.
Hey, man, big ups for all your struggles, man, and pulling through it, man. Big ups for it, bro.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, Victor, you know, man, I really appreciate you taking the time. I want to thank Rolando, honestly, too, for, you know, getting you on air with us and chopping it up with us hardcore boxing fans. We did make this a special edition because we normally do it on Thursday nights, man, but that's how much us guys here in Leaving in the Ring and There Will Be Blood Fight Show are fans of the vicious Victor Ortiz, dude, is that we needed to make this special edition just for you to have you on air so that we could chop it up with you and find out what's going on with your career.
Hey, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that. You guys take good care of yourselves, and make sure you give my best regards to the Bay Area, as you guys call it.
All right, brother, man, and I'll see you at your fight, man, over there at the Staples, bro. You take it easy, and once again, thank you again. And like I said, tell Rolando I said what's up, and thank you one more time.
All righty. You take care.
All right, Vic. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you got it, bro.
Well, there you guys go, man. This is Victor Ortiz. I hope you guys enjoyed this segment. You know, the show is streaming, you know, because I only locked down for 60 minutes for the show. Really, I didn't think that we were going to go over the nap, but I should have known a little bit better. But I did record it, so I'll be able to play whatever we missed that you're going to miss on the radio show, play it over so you'll see the relapse of it and catch the rest of what we talked about with Vicious Victor Ortiz. Man, I appreciate everybody calling in. I apologize if I don't let some guys, you know, ask a question. It's just that everybody's on, you know, and I don't like to break the rhythm of the other guys that have been waiting literally from the beginning of the show or midway through the show. I try to get those guys that already made a commitment on asking a question than rather than letting someone just pop up right away. And then, you know, I try to fit everybody, make it fair, guys. So I apologize if I didn't let you in through, but we will get Victor Vicious Ortiz on again. A reminder, we're going to have Floyd Mayweather Jr. and his uncle, Roger Mayweather, next week. So tune in. Tune in early if you want to ask him a question. And, you know, don't get upset, man. I saw a lot of guys just hanging up because I wasn't getting to them right away. And then call back. You hang up, you lose your spot. That's just the way it goes. Blood, you got anything else, man, you want to say about Vicious Victor Ortiz, brother?
Man, I just got to say, man, I was really blown away by this interview after he talked about all the struggles that he done been through. And he done made it out, man. He come from the gutter, and he done made it out the gutter, bro. And I'm just glad to hear that right there, man. That made my night right there, bro.
Absolutely, man. You know, Bally Boy, how about you, brother? What was your take about Vicious Victor Ortiz?
Man, one thing I take away from it is just he's a real cool dude. You hear the name Vicious, and then you really talk to him. It's like that nickname is just total opposite of what he is, but in the ring, it fits. So that's a real humble dude, and I just, you know, wish him all the best and try to get that, hey, try to be the unified. That'd be dope.
Absolutely. David Chim?
He's a real fighter, man. He's got what it takes. You know, he came up the right way, although it was some hardship. I think it's made him better. You know, I think he can really be proud of himself for where he has been and where he's going. So I wish him all the best. You know, I really hope he really makes it up there.
Absolutely, man. 916 Chris, man. Go ahead, give me some afterthoughts, brother.
You know, just echo what everyone else already said. He's a humble cat. You know, you got to respect him, you know, definitely from where he came from to where he is today. You know, the fact that he, you know, he had that self-discipline to get where he is without that family structure, man. You can't do nothing but respect a guy and cheer for a guy like that. You know what I'm saying? He definitely made a fan of me just on this phone call alone. You know, regardless of what he does in the ring, that's a guy whose career I'm going to follow just based on his story, you know, and where he's at, you know, where he's put himself in life.
Big Word, sports writer for Soloplex Promotions along with David Chin. He went out to the Ricky Hatton and Manny Pacquiao fight. He even started talking shit to some of the Brit fans after Manny knocked out Hatton. Big Red gets up and shows why they call him Big Red by saying, "Ah, tell me now what the hell did you say, brother, that I'm getting so much hate mail because of your ass."
Hey, man, you know what? You had me running around all fucking day long on Saturday, man. So by the time I got to the fight, after a few drinks, a couple Jack and Colts, man, I was already just, I was perved already, right? So you get into the fight, and I went to go watch a closed circuit, and all you hear is that damn annoying song that was, there's only one Ricky Hatton song, and that shit gets on my nerves after a while. So I'm sitting there, and before the fight, everybody's chanting, going off, and, you know, there's only one Ricky Hatton, got flags going all over the place, and you got a bunch of Filipino people running around, talking shit and whatever. So I'm kicking back right there by myself because my wife didn't want to go watch the fight with me, which was good because I was enjoying myself. So I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking, and then the fight starts, and everybody's getting excited and whatnot. We're all, you know, sitting there high fives and whatever. Fucking dude goes down twice in the first round on the right hand. We're like, oh, shit. So after that point, there was no more singing. There was no more Ricky Hatton fans singing. They were sitting down. They were all pissed off because they spent 500 million pounds or whatever the fuck they use over there to get over here to watch the fight, right? So I'm sitting there, and then round two starts. And then that fucking, I mean, Ricky Hatton gets knocked out cold. And all of a sudden, everybody looked constipated. That was a Ricky Hatton fan. Their face was just like, oh, shit. So at that point, myself, this dude that I met over there from San Diego, we were sitting there and we were just walking down the aisle. And all the people that were singing, yelling, screaming, fucking throwing their saliva all over the place, we just walked by. We're like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then we changed the song to the Ricky Hatton song. So it was great, man. I had a great time. I don't remember much after that, but I just remember it was great. And then they had excuses afterwards. Mayweather ruined the Hatton's career, and it was just like, who shut up already?
So Big Red was down there in Las Vegas, guys, and he had a chance to interview Alfonso Gomez and really get a chance to chop it up with him and find out what's next for his career. If you haven't went to the website, www.theworldbelievable.com, you can check out his articles. Yeah, Red's got some good insight, and he's a hardworking man, you know. Yeah, let me tell you, man, that's funny. That story's hilarious, first off. You know, when I was watching the fight, I was hearing the chanting, "There's only one Ricky Hatton." But the funny thing was that when he got knocked out, I don't know if anybody was really paying attention, because when they were chanting that song, "There's only one," and he gets knocked down, did you hear the reaction from the guys singing the song? Did anybody hear the reaction?
Nah, I didn't peep it.
It was, "There's only one," shit.
Yeah. Hey, you would have thought the British people got hit. Seriously, it was funny. That shit was funny.
Yeah, I was rooting for Pacquiao and I felt it.
Yeah.
That shit was
fun. It was fun being with you guys. It is Friday night. It's still early for me to go crack open a brewski and sit down, relax, and watch the replay of the ESPN2 fights. So I'm going to do that. My brothers, I appreciate you guys' support. Me and Blood really appreciate it. 916 appreciate it. David Chin. Rob Riller, I don't know. I think he got evicted from YouTube. It might be from his home there. So I don't know where he's at. Big Red, thank you for stopping by, man. I greatly appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great night. And I will talk to all of you next Thursday.
All right, now.
Take it easy, everybody.
Just to play, man. Slow flower, million dollar team. Let's go. You know, and I walk in a drastic state. Slow flow, I put the heat on you, yeah. And my eyes is blind as blood money. See, got me about to lose my mind. I'm more fidgety, wild like a crackhead. I am this mess, like the gut on the street corner. Run with the heat holders, no loose ends, and move to only win. No new friends in this life that I'm in. Got my mind in the lurks, I move with hard work. I was raised by these streets, I was made for the heat, yeah. And